113 days. You're going to need a bulletin, a pen, and a Bible. A bulletin, a pen, and a Bible. If you're with us for the first time tonight, let me just say to you, simply, you have never in your whole life been more welcome anywhere than you are in this room right now.
Yes.
We prayed for you to be here tonight. We didn't know your name or what your needs were, but we prayed that God would bring exactly who He wanted to be in this room tonight to be encouraged in whatever struggle you're walking through. The first time our visitors come, because the second time you come, you're no longer a visitor. You are an official card-carrying serenitarian for life, as of your second time. But the first time you come, we give you a gift from us that we simply call the Serena Bag of Serena Swag.
Amen.
It's a red bag with some things that we want to send home with you. And that should have a bulletin, a pen, and a Bible in it. So you're off to a good start with all that. And we are deeply glad that you're in the room with us tonight. We figure out real quick who the real sick ones are, because they actually get a load of this and come back for more.
Come on.
Anybody who comes in to this service and says, I like that circus, I think I'll go hang out with those clowns again. Well, you deserve what you got then. We're your people. And we're glad you're back. Now that you've got a Bible in your hand, turn with me to John chapter 1. If that's a Serenity Bible, one of them that we gave you, either handed to you just now or in your Serena bag of Serena swag, that should be around page 723. Let's get there quick. John chapter 1. May God bless the reading of these words from His Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And skip down with me to verse 14. The Word became flesh. He took a body and made His dwelling here among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. For those of you who've been around a while, several years ago, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, I preached a sermon series every Saturday night for several months, looking one at a time at one of the incredible array of names that God used to introduce Himself throughout Scripture. Depending on what the need was and who He was talking to, God, our higher power, God has an incredible array of names that He uses depending on the circumstances. And in that series, we looked, first of all, let me make it clear, because some of you who are more scholarly than others will correct me on this when I'm done tonight, so let me go ahead and get that over with. When the Hebrew people up to the coming of Christ, believed that it was an awesome thing and even a dangerous thing to speak the name of God. And so when they would write it so they wouldn't be caught writing the name of God, first of all, they went through cleansing. They had to go through an entire ceremonial process just to write His name down. But the name in Hebrew that they used for God just simply spell YHWH. Now, that's kind of tricky in English, isn't it? And as the translators were trying to translate the ancient text into language that we understood and could hear what they were talking about, they inserted some vowels along the way so that we could actually say something such as which I think is YHWH, the best I could do. So they inserted some vowels and really, truly, sort of created an English name from those letters that we say Jehovah. But we are speaking of God when we use the word Jehovah. So in the old times, in the Old Testament scriptures, God introduced himself as Jehovah Rapha, which means I am the God who heals your wounds. Anybody coming in with any wounds that needed healing tonight? I think, well, you're dismissed then. We're glad you were here. Christ saved all of us. Another time he would introduce himself as Yahweh Jireh, which means I'm the God who will provide everything you need. Other times he would introduce himself to people as Jehovah Nissi, which means I am the God who will fight your battles for you. And there's so much of the recovery principles that saved my life and most of yours that come out in so many of the ways God introduced himself. He introduced himself as Jehovah Shalom, which means I am the God who grants you serenity. Literally what that means. He introduced himself as El Shaddai, which means I am the God that is a power greater than yourself. You might have heard that principle somewhere along the line. But tonight, John, the Apostle John, many years later in his life, after Jesus had finished his earthly time here and went to get ready for us to go join him, John was writing and trying to explain who he was. And he said, in the beginning was Logos, capital L, Logos, and the word simply means the Word. In the beginning was the Word. So open your bulletins to the inside right-hand side and write down this first truth to take home tonight. That means I am the one who carries the message. Now, I was a full-grown man out of colleges and seminaries and been pastoring churches for a whole lot of years before I connected all of the dots where John is saying, in the beginning, he was the word bringer. He was the message carrier. And the message has never been carried that it wasn't carried by him. And then suddenly out of the clear blue, I went, oh, wait a minute. That means that the voice that was coming out of Moses' burning bush was Jesus. That means that the figure from heaven that carved the commandments in stone on top of Mount Sinai, that was Jesus' finger. Anytime a word was brought, that was his job and still is. Turn with me to Matthew 21, page 674. In a Serenity Bible. Matthew 21, verse 28. What do you think? He said, there was a man who had two sons. And he went to the first and said, son, go and work today in the vineyard. And his son says, I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. And he answered, oh, I will, sir. But he didn't do it. Which of these two did what the father wanted? The first, they answered. And Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. And he's talking to the tidiest of all church folks there. This was not some scum he's talking to. These were the leaders of the top echelons of church folks. The tax collectors, the thieves, and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe. How's that for good news? For some black belt, kung fu, cataclysmic screw-ups like, I don't know, the folks gathered in this room. And most particularly the one that's standing up in front of you at this very moment. That's my inventory, and I just got started. Isn't that wonderful news? That it's not the tidy, well-behaved church folks that are responding to the message of Jesus. He said it's the bad ones. Prostitutes and thieves and drug addicts and alcoholics and people with our inventories. He said they're the ones that are grabbing it. They're the ones who get it. He said there was a man who had two sons, and he came to them and he said to the first son, I want you to go out there and work in my vineyard today. And he said, well, of course I will. And didn't do any of it. And he comes to the second son and says, would you go out and work my vineyard? He said, no, I don't want to do that. But he changed his mind and went and did. Which one followed the father's instructions? He came to us and he said, here's what I want from you. And pretty much all of us said, well, the hell with that. I don't want to do that. I want to do this. And we got over there and did a whole bunch of that. And then we realized what the offer was and who was making it, and we came. And gave ourselves to him after.
Yeah.
He said, those are the ones that get it. Story is a perfect reflection of human nature. There are those who do, and there are those who don't. And it unfolds some real truth, and I want you to write it down. Our higher power, and at Serenity Church, we have chosen one of his names that we use mostly, Jesus Christ. Our higher power, who we choose to call Jesus Christ, expects his people to move. Act. Respond. Thousands and thousands and thousands of recovery meetings on every continent on earth. And I used to always say, on every continent but Antarctica. Until I heard, definitively, there's an AA group that meets in some of the polar exploration stations down here. Sure. So, I'd drink if I was walking. Another story for another guy. All over the world, millions of us had gathered up in circles like the ones we gathered up in this week, and we'll put our arms around each other, and we'll pray the Lord's Prayer before we walk out together, and then we'll say something similar to, keep coming back.
It works if you work it.
Oh, you've been in those meetings. It works if you work it. Nobody ever offered us the delusion that the miracle is going to roll right over us and soak down into our bones while I'm asleep tonight. We go out and we do what it takes to get us out of his way.
Amen.
He expects us to live on the outside what he's doing on the inside.
Come on.
I'm not going to fly by that. Listen.
Yeah.
He expects us to live on the outside what he's doing for us on the inside.
Amen.
And in words you may have heard in some of those meetings, you hear it put this way. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and practice these principles in all our affairs. It's not real if we're not living it and carrying it to somebody else. Well, how do we get there? How does that happen? Well, John, you went off to school and you spent your whole life training to preach and stuff, and I didn't, and I don't know anything about it. How am I supposed to carry the message? Isn't that why we have professionals? To carry the message. Because I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't have a message to carry. Let me give you a message you can carry this week. Well, I'll give you another one next week. Here's one for this week. Amazing grace.
Amen.
Amen.
How sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Frankly, that's our whole message. And anything else we add to it, you know, we can theologicalize and philosophize, and but all it does is just add more extra to that message. Just tell people, I was dying. Now I am so alive. I was so lost and abandoned. And I want you to come and see my family with me, and they'll help you do that too. That is our message, and nothing else is needed. Write this down. Hearing is essential. Hearing is essential. And once you've written that down, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Around page 774. Romans chapter 10. And verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how then can they call upon one they've not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news.
Amen. Amen.
Now, you did not get off the hook with the use of the word preach. Preach just means to share truth with somebody. And by far, the most effective preaching done, and many of the most effective preachers I've ever known, never stand up in front of a church for any reason, any time. You're a preacher. You are a preacher. If you have been given the message, if your life was saved by the power of God, and you go and say, I know you think you're dying, but I found out a way to live, let's go do that. You just became a preacher. That's what it is. But how can we carry a message that we don't have? And how can we have a message if we haven't heard one? And hearing is useless without movement to that. believing is incredibly important.
Amen.
In the 12 movements of life that saved my life, right at the very beginning, I had to surrender myself and realize and admit to the world, but mostly to myself, I can't fix things. I tried so hard. I mean, I really tried. I can't fix me. And the very second step on that trip is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanctuary. Believing is incredibly important. I've gone back often, and what a wonderful background. Seriously. I assume that's honoring those who put their lives out. Many who died. But those who put their lives on the line to protect my family.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. I'll preach with that backdrop any Saturday they want to go.
Oh, man. Oh.
That's wonderful. Okay, I might have lost my place. I have brought to you many times through the years. I'm just really moved by that. James chapter 2. And one of the most, maybe the most familiar thing James says, in James chapter 2, he says, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
His next words were, in my NIV it said, and I told you countless times through the years, I had a professor my freshman year in college who was going through James with us, and he said, truly a better translation of James' next phrase is, do you believe in God?
Yes.
So what? Big deal. Who cares if you believe in God? Because the next statement is, even the demons believe and shudder. They really believe. And then he gave us words that, interestingly, are the only exact quote out of the New Testament that appears in quotation marks intact in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous four times. James 2:17 is quoted in the big book on page 14, 15, 76, and 83. Exactly. And I want you to write it down. Faith without work is a dead thing.
Amen.
Oh, so you're saying, John, that we have to earn our way to heaven? No. Good luck with that. What exactly are you going to do to earn that? Really, we need to have a talk about that. No, we're not going to earn heaven. It is our belief, he says, that saves us. But it's not belief if it doesn't move. There are three things in Scripture, and I'm going to go through them really quickly, so keep writing. Write this down. There are three distinct things that mark us as God's message carriers. And the first one is availability. Availability. You know, it's so funny. I talk to folks all the time. I said, man, I know that I used to get to sit and worship and sit in recovery circles with you, and I really miss that. I really miss doing that. Someone I hadn't seen for a good while. I said, you know, John, I don't have to be in a group to reach out to God. I don't need a crowd for me to worship God. I can do that all by myself at my house. Well, not really. preaching to God is reaching to each other.
Amen.
If I'm not reaching out into your hurt and carrying your burden and fulfilling your needs and feeding you when you're hungry and binding up your wounds when you're bleeding, then I'm not worshiping, because all of those things are pure, unadulterated worship. And we have to be up in the Lord.
Amen.
And when I'm laying on the ground hemorrhaging again because I screwed up again, which if I live another day or two is likely to happen, I find myself like you do, you know, the next time I fall flat on my face, it's not going to do me any good that you are being holy in your den. I need to walk in and see you. I need to cry on your shoulder. I need you to hug me.
Amen.
And I need you to help me walk out of the pit I threw myself back into. Availability. Reminds me of an old story about a man who put up flyers around his neighborhood saying he wanted to hire a handyman. And the first one that showed up at his door said, "Well, I see you need a handyman. I'd like to apply for the job." And he said, "Well, that's wonderful." He said, "Do you do carpentry?" He said, "No." "Well, can you lay brick?" "No." "Can you do some rudimentary plumbing?" "I never have." "How about electrical work?" "No, never done any of that either." He said, "Well, what makes you so handy?" He said, "I live right around the corner." And he wasn't entirely wrong. Proximity. Availability. Our presence in each other's lives and in each other's faces. Hugging each other's necks and binding up each other's wounds is core to carrying the message. I love the words in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 102. It's a chapter on working with others. It says, your job now, listen, your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. That's your job, is to be in the place where people need you. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid place on earth on such an errand. Keep on the firing line of life with these motives, and God will keep you unharmed. Availability. Sometimes our greatest ability in reaching out to each other is availability. To be where we need to be when God calls us, and to be within whispering range of His next orders for us.
Amen.
And that's the reason we're here tonight. That's the reason you can't keep me away from this room.
Amen.
On Saturday night. Because God has called us to be available to the one who is hurting and suffering as we once suffered. Second mark, be ready. I'm a true carrier of the message. Sensitivity. It doesn't matter how spiritual we appear if we don't feel what's happening around us. Say that again too. It doesn't matter how spiritual we appear if we don't feel what's happening around us. That's probably the most quoted chapter in the entire New Testament. The Apostle Paul was frantically trying to make that point. He says, it doesn't care how good you are, how smart you are, how white you are, how rich you are. It doesn't matter any of that. He said, let me quote him, if you have the gift of prophecy, If you understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if you have faith that can move mountains, but you don't love the people around you, it's nothing. We can have every whiz-bang impressive spiritual ability on earth and do it for crowds all over the world. But if you don't care, if you don't love those people, if you don't feel what they're feeling and know when they're hurting, it is useless. Doing good church as our faith system, this is the point. We didn't come in here tonight and say, let's do really fancy church. We're a little gaggle of fundamentally messed up people in a rented room on Saturday night, bringing what we got to the
table. Amen.
All right. Well, John, why do you rent a room? Because we're never going to build it up. That's not what we're called to do. We're called to hear the message and to be available for those who need to be touched. Jesus said, when he was asked, what, bring it to the bottom line, Jesus, bring it to the bottom line. What are the two most important things we need to hear from?
That's the whole test that we're going to take at the end of it.
Now, if he hadn't warned me that I was going to, I know what I would say next. He said, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, Lord, when did we ever see you in any of those pickles you just described? When did we see you hungry and thirsty and a stranger and sick? He said, anytime you did any of that for the least of my people, the least of these people, you did that for me.
Amen.
Availability. Sensitive. We'll bring the man back up. The third part of our call to carry the message is accountability. Ooh. Boy, that name reverberates through the book. In Hebrews 4, in Matthew 12. Okay, let's just flip over to Romans 14 real quick. Romans 14. The church in Rome who got this letter from Paul wrote to them specifically because they had some stuff going on that needed to be addressed. And they were just ripping each other apart over the stupidest stuff. They had some folks in that church who said, you know, I think that if you're going to be really spiritual, you should be a vegetarian.
Nope.
And that's exactly what the other half of the church. Oh. Well, I say,
that's what's gross.
Bring me a Whataburger and talk to me about it.
Amen.
The next thing they meant. But half that church would say, I think you should be really spiritual. You should be a vegetarian. And these over here said, that's ridiculous. God gave us all of this to nourish us. And they were just split in two and ripping the church apart over that way of getting. Some of them said, I think we ought to set aside special days on the calendar for special holy celebrations. And the others said, well, we don't think so. We think every day is the same as any other day. You ought to treat them all just alike and give them all the same priority. And they were splitting each other apart. Verse 4. He said, who are you? Who are you to judge someone else's? Make them stand. Verse 17. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God.
Amen.
And receives human love. Since the only one that we're accountable to is Him, because I think we figured it out, didn't we? It stops and it's all about that one. Could we hire them to do that next week? I think we have one that has available us. We stood at the turning point and we gave ourselves to God's protection and care with complete abandon. And these words from the big book, and I'm not. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your felons. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. And we shall be with you with the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happiness.